We had no session yesterday because we had no internet. But it seems to be working today.
I think your microphone is on the screen.
I think they can hear. You can hear me? Yes, okay. All right. While I was putting on my tilak, I was thinking of on purport in the Bhagavatam. My mind has been going through a lot of thoughts about what the devotees must be experiencing everywhere. I have to confess, it's an unprecedented time. Most people are restricted in their movements. I don't know how many places people are not even allowed to go outside. It's an opportunity for the mind to race, if we're not careful, to race to different places, but may not be the best for our spiritual life. It's not in any way to diminish those whose minds do race. We're always having to confront some kind of obstacles in the course of our life. Some challenges are greater than others. When faced with challenges, we have so many examples from our predecessors, how they were able to overcome difficulties, challenges, by their remembrance of Krishna. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example. We can think of so many examples. Haridas Thakur, another example. I just hope that all of you are, and this is what made me think of this purport. I hope that all of you are seeing this as an opportunity to increase your dependence on chanting and hearing. I think of the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He even when faced with death personified, he saw death personified as his step into the flower airplane to go back to Vaikuntha. In other words, most people would be fearful to have to confront death personified. Dhruva Maharaj simply saw him and stepped right on his head and used his head as a step into the flower airplane. Prabhupada, in fact, I'm not sure if it's that purport, he describes how there, for a devotee, transformation or the transmigration or of the devotee is death for him is like the lightning and illumination. They take place simultaneously. There's nothing in between. There's lightning and illumination. The same way for a devotee, death is just the continuation of everything he's been doing throughout his life. I'm not speaking about death as if we're all about to confront it. It's just example of Dhruva Maharaj came to my mind and how he took an obstacle that he was faced with and reversed it as a great opportunity. And that's what made me think of this purport from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. I took an extra minute because, as I said, my mind thought of it while I was putting on my tilak and I had to go and get it and find the reference. It's in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. It's when the demigods they went to Lord Brahma, and the demigods were overwhelmed because the whole universe had been placed into darkness. And for the demigods, it was also a challenge. The whole universe was placed into darkness, and when the demigods confront a difficult situation, they tend to go to Lord Brahma and to seek his guidance. And sometimes if Brahma can't offer a solution, then he takes their appeal as an opportunity to go to the Lord and consults or speaks to the Lord, as he did with when Hiranyakashipu terrorized the universe. When he went to, Lord Brahma went to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Don't worry, I'll take care of him in due course of time. Meanwhile, just take shelter in hearing and chanting, and this will be taken care of." This is not the example I'm thinking of, but this was when Jaya and Vijaya descended and into the universe, and then they had taken birth, or they entered into the wombs of their mothers. And the universe at that time, as described, was covered by darkness, and the demigods were overwhelmed, like something terrible is going to happen. Imagine total darkness. So there's a sequence that's there, but the verse I wanted to read was Lord Brahma's conclusive statement to the demigods. It was in the third canto, 16th chapter, 37th verse. He says, Vishvasriya stiti layod bhava hetur ajo yogeshvararapi jaratiya yogamaya shemam vitas yasti sano bhagavang trayadishas tatrasmadiya vimrasena kiyan iharta. My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yoga Maya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga. That most ancient person, the personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What purpose can we serve in his behalf by deliberating on the subject? So Lord Brahma says, what purpose can be accomplished by deliberating on this subject? Krishna will protect. Prabhupada says in his purport, when something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse according to one's calculations. Of course, we may question, we're so many times saying, how is this arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We're hearing so many times that this is all due to the sinful activities, the exploitation of the living entities. Material nature is simply reacting to all of this exploitation, to all the sinful activities, and it may appear that the Lord is not directly involved in anything that's going on right now. But for a devotee, the devotee sees things differently. That's the difference between the devotee and the non-devotee. Non-devotee, he looks at everything completely forgetfulness of the Lord, and he tries to overcome obstacles by adjusting by fruitive activities. But this, any fruitive activity is not an adjustment at all. It's only a temporary remedial measure. And whereas a devotee, he understands, because he sees Krishna's behind everything, he understands that somehow in this is a plan, somehow in this, the Lord's hand is present, And for a devotee, somehow he wants me to learn something, as we said before, to take a reversal and to step and to reverse the reversal into something very positive. That's what a devotee does. A devotee sees something, oh yes, yes, it is the illusory energy, but the illusory energy is acting in such a way to help me take shelter of the Lord. This is how the illusory energy works for the devotee. Same thing happened, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it was Vidura. When Vidura was thrown out of the palace by Duryodhana, and he was thinking, how wonderful. How wonderful it is that I've been thrown out of the palace. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that the illusory energy acts differently according to the perception of the observer. For Duryodhana, because he insulted Vidura, a great devotee of the Lord, illusory energy acted in such a way to be the cause of his downfall. Vidura, he saw the act as the Lord's will. He said, finally, I've been obliged to stay in this palace for so long. Now, I've been kicked out. And he saw it as the Lord's will to simply travel in places of pilgrimage to increase his remembrance of his meditation of the Lord. So Prabhupada says the illusory energy acts in different ways for the non-devotee and for the devotee. So for the non-devotee, yes, the illusory energy is acting in such a way, it's teaching a lesson. Who will learn from it? We don't know. But for the devotee, the illusory energy acts in a different way. The devotee sees, yes, illusory energy is acting in such a way to help me overcome this reversal, this difficulty, by seeing how I can take advantage of what's being given to me for increasing my dependence and my remembrance of the Lord. So Prabhupada is saying here, when something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse according to one's calculations. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful preacher is killed, or sometimes he is put into difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and Prahlad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom. Their wife was insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord, even in reverse conditions, is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use in talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness was taking place, since the actual fact was that it was ordered by the Supreme Lord. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. It was possible for him to understand the plan of the Lord. I'm not going to give any more commentary. I've already given some commentary. I'm going to let Srila Prabhupada's words be the final statement. And as I said, this was just a verse that came into my mind 2 minutes before I walked in here. But it came into my mind because I was thinking about how a devotee should see all reversals as an opportunity to remember the Lord. I hope all of you are taking advantage of this opportunity. It's a unique opportunity for some, all of a sudden, having this extra time. Use it wisely. For some, you may not have the extra time. For some, I've heard from some devotees, they're even more busy now than they were before. Whatever it is, whatever circumstances are happening, please use the time wisely and use this as an opportunity to increase our remembrance of Krishna by chanting and by hearing and by remembering. This morning I was reading from Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I was reading about how the Vaikuntha Dutas were speaking to Gopakumara, and they were telling Gopakumara how that chanting is even better than remembrance of the Lord. Because by chanting, we get the opportunity to use more senses. We use our senses, we use our ears, we can hear, we use our tongue for chanting. And by chanting, it helps us to remember. Whereas by remembrance alone, he was saying, the Vaikuntha Dutas was saying, remembrance is very difficult when it enters a turbulent heart. So if the heart is turbulent, remembrance is difficult. But if we chant, we hear, we vibrate, and that chanting leads to remembrance. And therefore, the Vaikuntha Dutas were telling Gopakumara that it is much more powerful to chant the holy name of the Lord in order to invoke that remembrance. And we gave a talk, I guess it was 2 days ago, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying the same thing in his commentary in reference to Tapan Mishra when he came to Lord Chaitanya for relief from his mind. He was not very peaceful, even though he was chanting his mantra. Still, Lord Chaitanya instructed, more important is to take shelter of Harinam Sankirtan, chant the holy name of the Lord. And everything else can be accomplished if it's based on that principle. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said in his commentary that both the sadhana and sadhya, both by the sadhana of chanting Hare Krishna, one can achieve the sadhya, which is the goal, pure love of Godhead. And full efficacy is there when it's all based on the foundation of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So let us chant and use this opportunity for chanting our japa together. And I was going to chant Kevalastakam. That was what I was thinking of doing. But somehow this verse popped into my mind just as I was walking in here. Maybe we'll do Kevalastakam tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it the next day. But I do plan on chanting it and reading the verses of Kevalastakam, Harinamastakam, the 8 verses glorifying the holy name of the Lord. So instead of chanting Kevalastakam, we'll chant our rounds. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurda Bhakti Vrinda. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurda Bhakti Vrinda. Huh? Yes, it's on the desk. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm going to finish here so I can go for a walk. For those of you who are in North America, thank you for joining us during your morning japa. And may you have nice thoughts for the rest of your japa. I say this, I had a wonderful experience this morning. It was just such a wonderful realization of how we have no control. If nice thoughts, sometimes Krishna is very kind, and we may try so hard to think at something, and we try so hard, and it doesn't come, but sometimes it just comes. It just comes. We just have a desire, it just comes. This morning, I was actually meditating on Sanatana Goswami. I was just, and it went from one to the next. I was meditating on what Sanatana Goswami heard from Lord Chaitanya when Sanatana Goswami wanted to give up his body, and Lord Chaitanya gave him instructions, and Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, "You can't give up your body. Your body belongs to me. It's my property, and how can you?" How can you take something away when it's somebody else's property? You can't do that. And I have many plans for that body. And then he said, I want you to go. I want you to teach what renunciation. I want you to teach, to excavate the places of Lord Krishna's pastimes. I want you to write many transcendental literatures. And then I started thinking of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I started thinking about the same instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami in Puri, with same things that Sanatana Goswami was writing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He just included the exact same things there. And then it went from one thing to the next, and it was just like, I was thinking, well, what should I do? I was supposed to go do my exercises, and I ended up going 45 minutes over. I didn't start my exercises 45 minutes late. And then when I went in and started to do my back exercises, I immediately turned on the Prabhupada. And the first thing that came out of Prabhupada's mouth, first thing was Sanatana Goswami. And Prabhupada started talking about Sanatana Siksha. And it was just, I wasn't planned. I just turned it on, and it was Prabhupada just continuing everything. He was giving all, he was talking about Sanatana Goswami when he first met Lord Chaitanya, and he was talking about Kayami, who am I? And Prabhupada, of course, went on to brilliantly describe Sanatana Goswami's mood. Although he was so highly elevated, he presented himself as somebody who didn't even know who he was. Anyways, many other thoughts were there. I don't deserve them, but sometimes they just come, and may you have good thoughts. Because it's these good thoughts that's come, and these are the thoughts that we're praying for, to remember when we're chanting Hare Krishna, so that we can don't have to think about this crazy material world, which is constantly changing. These pastimes of the Lord is Sanatana Goswami. Of course, Sanatana Goswami, he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he's also eternal associate of Krishna as Rati Manjari in Krishna Leela. He's manifest in both pastimes, and they're going on eternally in the spiritual world. When we remember these pastimes, we don't have to be here in this world. So may you have good thoughts. Don't strain yourself. Just pray that they come, and may they come to you. And chant very nicely, sincerely, and Hare Krishna. So we'll end here, and
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.